I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes, I often slip. Just common flesh and bones. But I'll prove someday just what I say. I'm of a special kind. For when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. For he knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heavens shine, and so unworthy of such mercy, yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. The look of love was on his face. The thorns were on his brow. His blood was stained a crimson red. Was on his scarlet robe. His eyes were on the crowd that day. He looked ahead in time, and when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. For he knew yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. For he knew me, yet he loved me. He whose glory shine, and so unworthy of such mercy, yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. So unworthy of such mercy, yet when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Okay, I guess I should give a health update. My health is awful. Okay, it's the problem I have now is, and I had this before. I complained to you about this before. I had a spasm. I was going to say muscle spasm. right back here in the lower right side. Well, it has gone over to the left. And I'm telling you, sometimes I can't get up out of the chair. And sometimes when I walk, it kind of gives out on me. I haven't fallen yet, but boy, if it gets worse, I think that's going to be happening next. And I have a PET scan due on Wednesday. It's supposed to be one that shows a lot more things than a CAT scan does. And so that they're going to do from here all the way down to the thigh area, a PET scan. So, wow, I'm just struggling, folks. I really am. And that's why we didn't have communion today, even though I made the appointment with all of you. But I'm sorry about that. I'm just going to try and preach here this morning. And I do want to say I would like all the men once again to meet downstairs right after the morning service. I have some issues and I'd like to get your understanding on it. And so that's what we'd like to do. In order for me to get down those steps, I'm going to ask Clark when you get done that you get that chair glide ready to go for me, if you would. All right? All right. And so I'm going to preach shortly. How's that? Well, that means we don't know when he's going to preach or how long he's going to preach. You figure it out, okay? All right. Well, hey, good to see everybody here today. This looks like a full group here. That's really good. And got some visitors here. Want to welcome the visitors here with us this morning. And I'm just going to take a stab in the bark, dark. A stab in the bark. Ay, ay, ay. All right. Sitting next to Jim in her very back is, are you Judith?
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. Great. Judith, good to have you here. And other visitors as well. Glad to see you here. And Les, how are you doing? Les Pirelli, how are you doing?
Sorry.
You're all right. Boy, that was good. All right. He's all right. And he's in the middle of a treatment as well. So keep praying for Les. God would help him through it. Okay. Anyone else here suffering really bad that we can pray about? Okay. All right. Well, Romans chapter 1. Let's get in there. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we had looked at a description of the result of a reprobate mind is given for us in verses. And it begins to start like at verse 25. All the way down to the end of the chapter. That's where we're at right now in Romans. Romans chapter 1 and in verse 25. We read this before, but notice how the Bible says that God gives them over. God gives them up. God gives them unto a reprobate mind. Wow, that's a terrible situation to be in, by the way. If you sit here this morning and you have any conviction about it at all, you haven't gone too far with God. But I believe there are some people who've gone too far with God, and as far as sin and ungodliness is concerned. And then not only that, they want to blaspheme God himself while they continue on in their sin and ungodliness. And I can't help but see in this list of the things that men do when God gives them up under a reprobate mind that it looks like the United States of America. It really does. And I would be not faithful to the preaching of the word if I didn't bring that up. Folks, we live in a generation that is most wicked, most ungodly. And we began looking at this last week. I'll start at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is without understanding. Wow, I think that's what's going on in our culture here and all around the world. Not just the USA, but how about the Middle East and the Muslims and all that with their position and the way they want to spread their beliefs all over the world. And they have no understanding. and they're without understanding. Verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or good at the time to do. It's not the right thing to be doing at this time. And the list goes on. And last week I entitled the message, Being Filled with Awe. And that's what I left it at, being filled with awe. And you have to kind of figure out, well, what does he mean with all what? I hope people do say that and click on it and listen to the message. But there it is, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. That, you know, this unrighteousness thing is all injustice. A little bit of selfishness against all rights of others comes in as well. Unrighteous even to the point of taking advantage of other people's rights. And then the next thing is fornication. Well, could I just write the word fornication over the United States of America? I mean, that's what's going on. Actually, it's probably good that you don't know what all is going on out there in the world. You take, you know, men work Monday through Friday and they can't wait for the weekend. And the weekend to them is a time for them to just let loose and do whatever they want and then try to get ready to go back to work on Monday. And they're filled with all fornication. And the fornication is of all kinds of different things, from homosexuality to infidelity in the marriage covenant, and men and women doing things that are just wicked with each other before God. And it's not hid behind the corner anymore. It's done right out in front of the eyes of God. Then it says wickedness, which new versions take out. Wickedness. I guess they don't. If they could take out one thing, maybe it will make the list a little bit better. No, the list is awful. And so wickedness is right there. And then the next thing is covetousness. Making gain from others' loss. Could I put that over the United States of America? Gambling. Oh, every place you look, all the states have their own gambling thing to provide the money they need to take care of all the programs that they're going to do for everybody. And he said, we're going to take care of this. We're going to take care of that. Student loans. You'll be able to get a house without paying for it. I remember a couple elections a few years ago where one woman said, the president, won't name his name, is going to pay my mortgage for me. Oh, boy. That's covetousness. And then not only that, claiming more than one's due. You don't deserve that. But I want it anyway, covetousness. Not only among the young people who do that, but adults do it as well. I don't know if you've ever noticed the word deserve. Keep the word deserve in your mind. Have you noticed a lot of commercials will say, if you buy your policy with us, you'll get what you deserve. And I keep telling my wife, yeah, boy, you notice how they say what we deserve. Like as if I deserve this for nothing. I deserve it for free. And a lot of these commercials do talk about you can get this free, that free, this free, that free. And a lot of older people, they like that. But the commercial says, so that you get what you deserve. You know, if we get what we deserve, we'd be in hell. We'd be in hell if we got what we deserved. And then maliciousness. That's the next thing there. Maliciousness. You know what that is? A desire to injure somebody. A desire, if not physically, with the mouth and the words that you say to try to harm someone. And then full of envy. Full of envy. That's hate for one who is above us. And boy, are they using that in this political time frame. What am I mean by that? Have you heard anything like this? We got to make the rich pay. They need to pay. They haven't paid enough. And you know what's happening here, folks? That's setting up class warfare between the poor and the rich. And the poor are going to say, yeah, those rich guys, some of them don't even pay taxes. I'm going to tell you something. If they don't pay taxes individually, they sure do pay them corporately. All the regulations and taxations there are, they pay for it corporately. And so full of envy, wanting what someone else has, and hating, a full hate of envy. And then the next one is murder. Murder, folks. We can't even tell you the number of babies that have been taken out of the womb and killed so that the parents don't have to take care of that baby. Or prior to that, using some methods of abortion in order to get rid of that living human being for whom Christ died on the cross. Oh boy, do you think that we might see this society give account for that somehow, someday? I know that there's a judgment day coming, but you know, God in the past has judged people before the final judgment. He has done that. May I say two cities, Sodom and, you finish it,
Gomorrah.
Destroyed completely. Their wickedness was so bad that God had to destroy them off the face of the earth. And then how about the society that obviously was living in the time of Noah? And he destroyed everyone except for Noah and his family in the ark. By the way, I believe literally that there was an ark that Noah went into and he survived the flood. And we all go back to Noah. And then the next thing I see here is debate. Beating down in wrangling and contention. Arguments and all, and contentions and fightings and breaking down. Deceit, that's guile, to catch with a bait. That's our business world. They want to catch you with the bait out there and get you to buy something you may not need. Malignity, the word malignity means taking all things in an evil sense. Taking everything in an evil sense. I don't know about you, but when you watch television, everything seems to be laughed at and joked about and made fun of about sexuality. Marriage is made fun of. And this is just constantly coming at you, beating you down constantly, all the time, with malignity. And then whisperers. This is secret slanderers, privately peddling evil reports. Oh boy, this election time, all these evil reports about the other guy, and then that guy gets something on the other guy, and that one gets something on the other guy. This is going throughout our whole society, this kind of thing. Whisperers. And then the next thing is backbiters. Speak against, to incriminate someone. The next one's haters of God, to show as well as feel hate toward God. You know, it's not just a hate of God, but they go about to tear God out of every part of our society and our world if they can. Haters of God. Not just, well, you know, I'm an atheist. They want to pull down everything that has God, the word God in it, or Jesus in it, or any, in fact, okay, leave those two names out, anything that would subscribe to righteousness. Tear that down. We don't want anybody telling someone else what they have to do. But of course, they don't mind telling us what we have to do. We've got to tear these things down. Yeah, that comes right around back to us at sometimes. And then despiteful. People taking pleasure in insulting others. I hope you're not like that. You know, none of these things should be a part of the Christian's life. This is God's description of our world that we live in. And it was his description of the world even back when Paul wrote this book. He wrote Romans a long time ago, folks. And this is God's thinking and what he, how he looks at the world in Paul's day. Imagine how he must look at our world today. And then the next word is proud or arrogant, full of haughty pride toward others. Boasters. boasters, vaunting oneself. You know where you can see this a lot? In sporting events, all right? He just tackled somebody and he beats his chest like a gorilla, you know? Or they just got a touchdown and they got to go up and put it in the face of the opposing audience. Boasters of themselves. And, you know, you little children look at this and they say, I'll be just like them. And they start acting it out just like them. And they become boasters of them, of themselves. All right, the next thing. Despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things. Wow. Don't we see this going on all around the world that we live in? Inventors of evil things. You know, Hollywood can portray evil all the time, it seems. Have you ever seen them lately? Okay, let's just say lately. Okay. Where they invent something that's nice, a program that's nice and filled with all good things. No, there has to be some kind of evil thing in almost everything they invent. And then disobedient to parents. You know, this, what this means is not able to be persuaded by parents. Parents, you do have a hard job in this world that we live in. But you still need to do the things found in God's word in order for you to bring children up in the way they should go. Now, some of you sit here and you're rather old. Okay, you're the grandparents of children. And guess what? You should be training those grandchildren up in the way they should go just as well. I always liked it when I would leave Jason or Rachel off at my parents' place and they'd always say on the way out, and do we have permission to paddle them? yes, you sure do. And mom would get her paddle out. It was a little stick with a foam pad on it, you know. They would swat them where they needed it if it was necessary. And you grandparents, it's the same way. You know what? You could actually say, hey, look, if you're not going to allow us to discipline them in the way they should go, then don't send them over to us. Don't expect us to put up with all their disobedience. You train them first at home so that they will be okay when they go to grandparents' house. And when you go shopping, how often have you seen a child just doing a tantrum on the floor in the Giant or the Weiss's or whatever you're shopping at because they can't get that certain thing off of that shelf. And the parent just says, you're going to get it when you get home. You know what? If you say that, you better do it. You better do it because that child is just testing the boundaries. How far can I go before mom or dad really do what they say they're going to do? Don't wait till they get older. It's too late. Then you'll be sad as can be to see the results of not disciplining your children. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And even some of you younger adults here, you were brought up in an age where... one of the doctors, I forget his name, he's not worthy to be known anyway, Spock, right? Dr. Spock, yeah. And he told everybody in our generation, no, you'll destroy their self-esteem if you spank them. I have found that you cause their self-esteem to get better. Maybe we should just use the word steam. just kidding a little bit there. Training up a child in the way they should go, that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. That's what Proverbs tells us. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know what? Not only was it in the book of Romans that it was given, but this list is also given by Paul in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is his letter to the preacher. And I'll tell you what, if you say, as you sit there, well, I don't know that Pastor Freeman really should be getting his hands into this business of teaching us these things. I'll tell you what, 2 Timothy says he better do it. Because this is a sign of the times that parents are not even persuaded, or that children are not persuaded by their parents when they tell them to do certain things. Go with me to Proverbs 30. And we are going to look at a few verses here. Proverbs 30, and I'm going to stop, okay? Proverbs 30, because I want to talk to those guys afterward here, okay? Proverbs 30 and verse 17. Proverbs 30 and verse 17. Proverbs 30, 17. It's good to hear the pages turning. That's a good sound. I can just imagine some people go to church and they don't even ever hear anything out of the Bible, let alone let's turn in our Bibles to Proverbs 30. All right, before I preach a different message, I better get back here. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Wow. That's what God said through Solomon, the wisest man ever on this earth. And he comes up with that information that if a young person mocks his father and disobeys his mother, the ravens will pick out his eyes and the young eagles shall eat it. Wow. I don't know about the literalness of that, but I'm sure it's probably happened to somebody. But you know what? When you don't obey mom and dad, the Ten Commandments say that your life is going to be short. If you obey mom and dad, you will enjoy long life. Oh, there's a lot of children in trouble with God because they're disobedient to parents. Go back in chapter 30 to verse 11. I'm in Proverbs, Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation. And by the way, right there where the word generation is, I took a pen and I wrote this. USA Today. Today. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. You know, you try to tell anybody today that they're wicked and sinful and need a Savior. They hate it when you say that to them. They think they're good enough. They're not any worse than the guy next to them. Continuing on. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. Now that's an idea of, look at me, I'm not bad, I'm okay. They lift up their eyes almost as if to say to God, I'm all right, I don't need you. Verse 14, there is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. You know, we just had a trial here locally of a young man who killed people in Easton and then drove his car somewhere else and shot at somebody else. Came into Allentown and killed two other people, I believe. And you know what he said? I just wanted to see what it was like. Something like that. I just wanted to see what it's like to kill somebody else. And those other people were total strangers to this guy. There he is. Boy, if you don't think these things are today in Romans, I don't know where your head is. You obviously aren't looking around and watching what's going on. And so we'll pick up with this next time when we get together. Last time I kind of hurried over some of those things and I thought I'm gonna hit these again because I didn't take time enough on them. So there you go. That's Romans chapter 1. Not a very good picture of the human race. And that's because Romans will later on say, this is how God will save you out of this generation. It's through Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins. That's how he's going to do it. And the book of Romans is going to say it all. It's going to say it very good. We like to recite that verse. There is none righteous, no, not one. Right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you know, it does say, but God sent his son into this world to save sinners. How about it? Can you say this morning, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If you can't say that, you need to say that to me somewhere. Get a hold of me. Get a hold of my wife and say, I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. I've been trusting in everything else. My good works, my heritage, my family, my church membership, my catechism, my infant baptism, my confirmation, all those things. And I go to church and I give money to the church. Oh, these things will never save you. Well, they will help, won't they? No, they won't help. They actually take you further away from the truth. And the truth is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that includes you, believeth in him should not, what? Perish. But have what? Everlasting life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, help anyone listening to us on the internet or here in this auditorium this morning who's not saved to reach out to someone, either next to them or myself or my wife, and get this matter settled once and for all. The matter of where will I spend eternity? Oh, Lord, work in their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.